Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, everybody jump! Yes. A good Thursday morning to one and all. It is Taz of the Moose with you right here on CBS Sports Radio. Rolling right along. Good morning, Taz. How you doing, bro?
Good, my friend Moose. We are good to go. We're going to have a fun show. We got a lot to get into, obviously. It's NFL time. It's college football time. We got a lot of football chatter.
Yeah, London Fletcher's going to join us a little later on the program.
Looking forward to that. We got some NBA. Got a little NBA chatter, too.
Yeah, no doubt. A lot of drama in Minnesota. We'll get into that as well. Mikey B, Pete the Body across the way. AB with your update, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern time. We go 3 to 6 Pacific as we come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully. Make sure to go out there and mortgage confidently. Can't play a talking number to call 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227.
Attention hotline fans.
And, you know, we'll get into all the drama surrounding the Minnesota Timberwolves here in a little bit. But, you know, I'm sure we should begin up in Lambeau Field, and that is with the Green Bay Packers, because, you know, after Aaron Rodgers goes out there and plays this past Sunday against the Minnesota Vikings and plays pretty well, and if you get a kick late in regulation, the Packers are walking off that field as a 2-0 football team. With that, they didn't end up in a flat-footed 29-all tie with the Minnesota Vikings. They're now 1-0-1, and we know Rodgers' knee is not 100% healthy. We do know that, and we know last week it was a game-time decision, and he did practice right before the game, so you had an idea that he was going to give it a go. And he did, and he played relatively well. But then the news comes out yesterday that Rodgers is fearful that his knee could progressively get worse as the season goes along.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing. You saw the guy get carted off the field a couple of weeks back, right? And you're figuring, oh my God, he's done. And we know it's well documented. He came back, threw 3 touchdowns, won the game for his team, and all that stuff, and hero like style of the great Aaron Rodgers, but. You know, a knee injury, a knee, anything going on with a knee, that's a big joint in your leg, obviously, and it's the joint. And I've had surgeries on my knee, and I actually have knee pain today. But I don't have to play in an NFL game on Sunday. So the thing is, it nags. And, you know, I'm surprised he came out kind of and admitted it. You know, most a lot of times guys keep it close to the vest.
Right, and there was a doctor's report last week that it's going to take 2 months for the knee to get back to 100% health.
Right.
And I don't think if the doctors thought his knee was, he had a danger of making his knee worse, I don't think they would roll him out there after the money that they gave him. Wouldn't that be basically you wouldn't be doing your job as a doctor? I mean, I if you're going to roll him out there. So, I mean, you look at what the player, the report last week was basically that he can't do any more damage. It's going to take 2 months for him to get back to where he's not feeling any sort of pain. And then the third point was that he's going to just have to deal with the pain in order to go out there and play.
Yeah.
So then you get what Rodgers had to say yesterday, and now I think here's where the confusion lies in a little bit, based on the report we got last week from Packer doctors and the medical field, and then the player comes out and says what he says yesterday. You know, I don't know. I mean, so then if you're Aaron Rodgers and you're looking at that situation, you fear that the knee could get worse. Well, I could fear a lot of things as well. If the doctors are telling me you can't make the knee worse, then what are you supposed to do as a player?
It is a little confusing. I got to tell you the truth. I don't have the answer. But if you're saying your knee, it's going to take this person's knee. If a doctor says it's going to take this person's knee, in this case as a professional athlete, it's going to take his knee 2 months to heal. Well, how does that person's knee heal if he's not resting it? Yeah, he's getting treatment. And after practice, I promise you, he's they're icing the hell out of that knee. That ice is living. That knee is living in ice with stim. It's like the pulsations that goes into your nerves. Ice and stim is his best friend. He's probably not getting any ultrasound on it because that's heat. And I don't think you want to put heat on an inflamed joint. So whatever's going on in there. So point is, Moose, 2 months. Okay, cool. But he's still practicing. Well, he's lightly practicing,
I'm sure.
Well,
he's lightly practicing.
But he's playing every Sunday. You know, he's going to be playing.
We're right. But
as far as we know.
No, yeah. Well, the knee's not going to get better.
That's what I mean. He's not resting the knee.
Well, but right. So it's not going to get better when he's playing. So
right.
I think we all understand. Yeah, you have an understanding of Rodgers. You have an understanding of that. But his idea is that the knee is going to get progressively worse. I don't know that. I mean, the doctors didn't seem to believe that last week. Now, has anything changed with Aaron Rodgers medically where now he believes that? And I don't think the medical doctors would roll or clear Aaron Rodgers and put him out there on the field, Taz, if they really believed the knee was going to get progressively worse as the season goes along, if it was not dealing with just a little bit of pain management. Now, everyone's pain threshold is a little bit different. I get that. Some guys can play and play well and deal with the pain. Other guys cannot. And that's all on the individual. We've seen Rodgers play through injury. We've seen Aaron Rodgers be gutty. We've seen Aaron Rodgers play hurt, as we've seen Roethlisberger, Stafford, other guys go out there, Andrew Luck with the Indianapolis Colts, and those are just quarterbacks. But everybody, by week 14, 15 of their NFL regular season, for the most part, isn't 100% healthy. So I don't know what to believe here. If it's the case where it's going to progressively get worse, here's the decision for Aaron Rodgers. If you shut it down and you say, I'm going to take the next 6 weeks off, then the Packers aren't going to be a playoff team.
Oh, forget about it. Yeah,
the season's over.
No,
so
done.
Rodgers is sitting there. If he decides to take games off, the season's over. They can't beat the Washington Redskins this Sunday with Deshaun Kizer at quarterback.
They're not beating anybody with Kizer. Maybe
no,
the Bills.
Maybe the Bills. But they're not beating anybody. So that's the point. If you want to play relevant football, then Aaron Rodgers is going to have to continue to deal with it week in and week out.
But, right, right.
But if medically he's going to get worse, then if you're the Packers, you can't roll him out there. But that's not what the doctor said last week.
I know. It really is a bit of a head scratcher. Listen, if the guy...
That's not what the reports were last week.
Yeah, if Rodgers, Moose, right, if he went and got a scope today, he got his knee scoped, he's going to be out minimum 2 weeks, you know, but still, that's 2 weeks that you're not playing in a game and where the Packers can drop severely down. Look, you know, as long as he can make it through this season, because it's week to week for him, basically, and I hope for him and Packers fans he can, he's probably going to get a pretty decent-sized operation after the season on that knee, unfortunately for him. But, you know, and the brace helps. For those that don't know, he's wearing a big brace, right? That's for mobility. That's to avoid the knee from... You know, taking a bad twist to the left or right, like a lateral twist, so it keeps his knee north and south for the most part. And if anybody lands on it, you know, it protects the side of the cartilage and stuff. So, yeah, it sucks for him. I mean, he's dealing with that pain, and he's probably living in that trainer's room. He's probably getting rehab before practice, after practice, ice. He's probably popping a handful of ibuprofens here and there because that'll help you. You know, some Advil for sure. I mean, that sounds crazy. Advil. Yeah, Advil does help. It's a great brand, too, by the way.
Yeah, it is. It is a very good brand. I guess I'm just a little confused.
I am too, buddy.
So I look too at the scenario and I say, I don't know exactly. And it is technically, quote unquote, a knee sprain. That's what he was diagnosed as, a severe knee sprain after that Bears game and coming in the second half. And you can't look back on the second half and say he shouldn't have come back in the game. He did, and had one of the all-time great comebacks that you'll ever go out there and see. And for Rodgers now, the scenario is it's a. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. Continue. Oh, no, I was just. Do you think? Go ahead.
All right. I think you look at a scenario now where if you're going to shut it down, then just shut it down, or else stop
right.
talking about it because. That's one thing you can't keep on doing week in and week out is talking about it because then
a lot of
all
attention,
of a sudden,
right?
Well, I mean, yeah. Right, the attention to it, and everyone loves attention. I understand that, but I do think that if you're going to give it a go, then you give it a go and try and cut every storyline off at the knees. You don't add oxygen to the storyline to where now Packer fans are watching their game against the Washington Redskins every snap with bated breath. The myth, this might be Aaron Rodgers' last snap on offense this year or for quite some time.
And the other thing, Moose, as you know, and everybody knows, the weather's going to get colder. It's going to get cooler now. You know, the season's changing. So my point in that is warmer weather will help a joint that's in pain. And I think as it gets a little chillier out, and he's playing in Green Bay, that's where his home base is. I'm just saying, man. If it's warm out, he even said something. I read somewhere, Roger was saying that the warm weather on Sunday felt good for his knee. Like, actually, and it's true. You know, that's why a lot, that's just a side note, a lot of older folks, they'll move down to Florida or Arizona because the warm weather, because of arthritis in your joints. I mean, I know I wish I lived in, like, a volcano. My joints hurt so much. I could use a lot of, I got a lot of arthritis.
So, I'm sure the warm weather does help, and it's going to be a matter of pain management. And said he's not 100%, and he's making adjustments to his game to try and mitigate the risk of further injury. All well and good. We'll see what Rodgers does this upcoming Sunday. Against Washington last week, he was 30-42 against Minnesota. Still looked pretty good. Wasn't able to scramble all that much.
Well, we know he's tough, right? We know he's tough, man. He's a tough dude.
As we mentioned earlier on, no doubt he is, and he is the Packers franchise, and he is able to alleviate a lot of the issues of the Green Bay Packers in other areas, Taz, with his brilliance at the quarterback spot. So it'll be interesting to follow, but Rodgers throws another intriguing storyline into the third Sunday of the NFL regular season with him saying that the knee is not 100%. We know that, but he has a fear of maybe progressively making it worse. Now, let's go to Pittsburgh because we discussed a lot of it yesterday surrounding the Pittsburgh Steelers and Antonio Brown, whether or not it was a excused absence or whether it was not an excused absence. When his agent, Drew Rosenhaus, the legendary Drew Rosenhaus, said he had a family issue. That's why he was not at Steelers practice and at the practice facility on Monday. And Mike Tomlin, when he was asked about it, didn't say one way or the other whether it was excused or not excused.
Right.
And we know Antonio Brown got in with the players and coaches on the sideline. We know Antonio Brown went at it with a former Steelers employee on Twitter that was critical of his game. Now, now we do know. I mean, Antonio Brown was disciplined.
Mm. So if he did nothing wrong,
why would you be disciplined?
Right. So that now we know, Moose, to your
unless
point.
You discipline him for...
Well, he missed a meeting, and now we know that wasn't... Right. You know, it wasn't a personal day. It was... So it kind of, you know, the truth slowly is coming out here. So, he's disciplined because he didn't show up.
Right. I mean, I agree. I agree. So as we discussed yesterday with Brian McFadden, the hits just keep on coming for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It's all about the drama and the nonsense, either on or off the field, and the product on the field, unfortunately, does not match the heat of the drama off the field because they're right now not a particularly good football team.
No.
They're
0-1-1,
deserved loser week two against Kansas City Chiefs, who by far were the better football team, easily could have lost to the Cleveland Browns week one. And now the Steelers get the Ryan Fitzpatrick and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
A red hot Buccaneer team
that's feeling their
oats at home.
And I'm sure Ryan Fitzpatrick's ecstatic to be going up against that Steeler defense, which is atrocious. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. That is an atrocious defense. And for the Steelers, for Mike Tomlin, the idea now, Taz, is that he has lost control. I mean, that's really what you can when you can look at it. When you have a star player like Antonio Brown, because how many times we talk about star players need to carry out the message of the head coach, guys of impact. Antonio Brown is one of those guys, and he's pulling a no-show at the practice facility, missing a meeting because he's ticked off about the amount of looks he's getting over the course of a game.
And again, as we know, coming off that tweet, that Twitter exchange with the gentleman who used to work for the Pittsburgh Steelers, where he said, "Well, then trade me," meaning Antonio Brown. So, yeah, that whole chain of events from Sunday on the sideline, which again, we felt like it's not a big deal. Brian McFadden was on yesterday; he felt like it wasn't a big deal either. But then the Twitter thing, and then missing the meeting—it's like, and now this comes out that Tomlin does have a sit down with his megastar wide receiver and has to discipline him. So I heard Roethlisberger talking about it yesterday, I believe it was, saying basically that about Antonio, look, he's the best in the world. And if there's an issue, just talk to me. Like, if you feel like I'm not getting the ball to you or something like that, I'm paraphrasing all this. If you feel like I'm not getting the ball to you, let me know. Let's talk it out, blah, blah, blah. Because they do have great chemistry, Roethlisberger and AB. And I think that's cool Roethlisberger did that and told him that. That's a leader, Roethlisberger. He told AB that, and you should do that. And I got to say, for the Steelers have, like most NFL franchises, there's proud fan bases all over the country, right, for the NFL. But, the Pittsburgh Steelers fan base is ultra proud. It's a real blue-collar town. They take pride in that. They live that. And they got fans all over the world. It's a massive brand, the Pittsburgh Steelers. I got to tell you, I feel bad. I feel bad for the brand as a whole. I do. Because they have some talent on that team. The whole Bell situation, that's a whole... That hasn't even come up for a couple of days because of the stuff with AB.
Yeah, I think everyone's kind of allowed Le'Veon Bell to enjoy the vacation time, wherever in the world Le'Veon Bell might be enjoying his time off from the National Football League, whether it be partying down in South Beach, on a ski-doo, wherever it might be. Le'Veon Bell certainly is enjoying his life.
You ever go on a ski-doo?
I'd have.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Right. It is great. On the
I've never have. I
oh,
never
it's
have.
Great.
Yeah,
it is
really?
Great.
I never have. Yeah.
Done in Mexico and the Bahamas.
Really?
Yeah, it's awesome.
I got to give that
it's
a whirl.
It's got to be flat water.
Yeah?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not good enough. Some guys do it in the waves.
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, yeah. I would sink, bro.
No, Caribbean, there's no, like, waves whatsoever. Yeah, yeah. So it's nice flat, and it's easy, and you can let it out.
Really?
It's fun. Yeah.
I got to give
it's
that a whirl. Maybe I'll do that this weekend.
Nice. Well, right. Good luck in the bed.
Do it on Long Island.
We probably won't see you on Monday. Anyway, let's get to Mike Tomlin. Here's the Steelers head coach on Antonio Brown.
He and I met yesterday. For extended period of time. Ali, the nature of that conversation between us, there was discipline involved for his missed meeting for Monday. Some of the other things we talked about extensively, he'll speak for himself in some of those things. Really, our focus is preparing to win this game on Monday night. But I did want to give you guys an update. I promise you I'd give you that. So there it is.
Well, there you go.
Thank you, Coach.
And that is, then you have the Bleacher Report that comes out, an unnamed AFC South assistant coach. Saying defending Tomlin, who's in his 12th year with the club, and we know the Pittsburgh Steelers don't change many coaches, but describing the Steelers as being it's a circus, and Mike has no control over it. Said he's one of the best coaches of my generation. This is what the assistant said, but the players have too much control. It's not Mike's fault that Antonio Brown sometimes acts like an idiot. Now,
was let me interrupt. Was Bradshaw right, dude? I mean, you know,
I don't think
he was right.
No, I think Bradshaw was critical of Tomlin last year when they were in the playoffs.
He was. Yeah.
Now it's completely. It's not Mike Tomlin's fault that the Pittsburgh Steelers decided to play hardball with Le'Veon Bell.
Right. The organization,
now, the organization. The you want to get on Tomlin and say maybe he is. It's too much control he's given some of his guys. I think you could see it when Antonio Brown's hopping on Facebook Live. After a playoff victory against the Kansas City Chiefs in the Steelers' locker room, would a Bill Belichick guy team do that?
No.
Would a Tom Coughlin team do that?
I think most teams guys wouldn't. No, to your point.
Mike Zimmer? No. Marvin Lewis.
Zimmer.
Who's a player's coach.
That guy.
Right. Marvin Lewis, player's coach. You wouldn't see a Cincinnati Bengal team do that. On the Cincinnati Bengals do that. You saw that with Antonio Brown. See, the problem with Bradshaw I have is when you're not around.
Yeah, he's not the facility. Yeah, we heard that. Yeah,
when you're not.
What do we have on him? Who was that?
Josh Miller.
Oh, Miller, right. Josh Miller, right.
Now, if you look at this Steelers situation from afar, you could clearly look at it and say it's a circus. And now you have an NFC South assistant basically describing it as such, a guy that I would probably imagine is close to people on that Steelers staff, if you had to put two and two together. And he is not critical of Tomlin. He's more critical of his coaching style and the fact that over the course of time here that he has lost control of his team, or the perception is that he's lost control of his team. Listen, Pat Riley always thought there was a shelf life to coaches. Mm. Now there's more turnover in the NFL than there is in the NBA, but sometimes thinks that the message over the course of time does get lost. But maybe you're right, Taz. Do you think Bradshaw's right? Do you think what Bradshaw had to say now is correct? I think it's still wrong what Bradshaw had to say.
I do too.
I think it's an intriguing comment, but they're adding gasoline to the fire with the way that they're playing and the way that they're behaving.
And again, if you're out there and you think maybe, you know, Terry Bradshaw was right about Tomlin, Moose and I don't think it was right. I just thought it was something that triggered me to thinking, you know, you're hearing all the stuff, you're seeing this with Tomlin. I like Tomlin. I like him, but... call the show, 855-212-4227. If you think Terry Bradshaw was right, or if you think things will get straightened out in Pittsburgh, will they, the Steelers, be able to conquer that beast on Monday night known as the Buccaneers and the real Fitzmagic?
Here's one more before we go to break, to let you marinate a little bit. James Harrison, who we both love.
Great defensive linebacker. Yep.
Right, said this, Mike Tomlin. Good head coach. He's a player's coach. I think he needs to be a little bit more disciplined. The big thing with Belichick is He's very regimented. He's disciplined. Everyone is going to be on the same page. There's not going to be anything as far as someone doing their own thing. I think over there in New England, their whole coaching staff is like that. So Harrison describes Tomlin basically needing more discipline. Bradshaw has said it from afar, a former Steeler. An NFC South assistant basically has said that Tomlin's lost control. The players have too much control in Pittsburgh. So, in essence, Taz, maybe Bradshaw watching from afar, not knowing Tomlin from a hole in the wall, not walking into that Steelers facility, maybe Ted Perry Bradshaw was correct.
Could be.
Harrison basically said it.
Harrison
was on the Steelers and then got cut.
And went to the Pats. Yeah. It could be. I mean, it could be. I don't want to think it's true. We had Charlie Batch on, too, who was saying, hey, listen, Bradshaw's never at the facility. He didn't even show up.
Yes.
He's never been there.
Correct, yes.
His banners all over the place with his face on it. He didn't even pop up.
Yes, with the bald head and the long blonde hair, yes.
And the one tooth missing from Smokey and the Bandit.
Yes. Good movie. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Want to hear from you. Do you agree with what Harrison had to say? An unnamed NFC South assistant. The circus in Pittsburgh. We know this. Antonio Brown's absence was not an excused one, as he was disciplined. And Tomlin talked about that yesterday. How much pressure is on the Steelers head coach? Want to hear from you. 855-212-4227. Your number to call. And Vontae Davis, the former Bills corner, explains why he split on Sunday. We'll get into that next. Taz, Moose, CBS Sports Radio.
NFL scores, highlights, and more with Rich Ackerman and I on Football. Be listening Sunday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
AB is in the house first time this morning.
Yeah.
Asked him how he's doing.
Isn't that
he
amazing?
Said, usual Thursday exhaustion. Good to have you aboard.
Exhaustion? Hold on a second. What are you exhausted about?
I've been up for 3 hours already.
So what are you like? You're laying like tile floor? You're putting sheetrock up? What are you doing?
It's just life.
It's funny, Moose.
Like, wait, you're exhausted. You ever dig a hole in your life? Please.
One has nothing to do with the other. Wait a second. Hold on.
The guy looks fresh as a daisy.
Oh, no, he does.
I'm a professional.
Sick of this crap.
He does a great job. I mean, but no, he's not.
He does a good job.
Okay, he does a great job.
We throw the word great around here a lot. We do that a lot.
Build people.
No, let him tear me down. The guy that goes home at 8:57 every day and does nothing.
It's 8:59, by the way.
Well, yesterday he was packing up at 8:53.
I know. There's a delay outside the newsroom. There's like a 30-second delay. Right. I'm still hearing you say, enjoy the rest of your hump day. And he's out. Let it buggish! Turn my mic off!
Yeah, he's like walking out.
You hear the bag like we're in the last segment here. The zipper. Backing up.
Work and life can be a little stressful at times. It can wear you down.
Not for me. Doesn't matter
what you do.
Not for me.
Yeah, you're always fresh as a daisy.
You know me. Well, I've dug holes. This AB's so never dug holes. That guy never lifted a shovel in his life.
Hold on a second. One has nothing to do with the other.
All of a sudden, you're defending AB.
Did you dig a hole yesterday?
No, I'm not saying that. But that's... Come on, Taz.
Hold on, Moose. He just asked me if I dug a hole yesterday. Actually, it's funny you said that. I watched my landscapers dig a small hole to plant the cherry tree. I did watch that as I sat on a porch smoking a cigar. Draining.
No, I'm not defending AB. I think everyone has... You don't know what's going on in his life. I just asked how he's doing. He said I'm usual Thursday exhaustion.
Listen, you've missed a great opportunity to bash AB. That's the goal here.
No. I think you got to... good dog, bad dog. I've heard that.
This is Moose.
I do bad dog, bad dog.
He's still feeling yesterday's Fitzmagic silence.
A lot of burn on Twitter. Everyone loved it.
I know. I really did get a lot of burn. I got to tell you.
I mean, they loved it.
It might have been Ben to play the Fitz, but that's all right, Pete. No, that's all right. He'll get the hang of this job. That's all right, Pete. Don't worry about it.
Sorry, I apologize. I'll raise my standards.
No, Pete, you nailed it.
No,
you nailed it.
Yeah.
That was a bullseye.
You nailed it.
You nailed it, Pete.
Take tomorrow off, Pete. You were
great job, Pete.
Pete, you're good.
I was taking tomorrow off, and that's me. Hello, I will not be here.
We'll miss you.
Yes, I will not be here. Well, don't worry, AB. You'll get to sit in the big boy chair tomorrow. It's okay.
No, I have to sit over here tomorrow.
No, you can sit over here. It's okay.
I'm not allowed to sit there.
But let's not bury the lead. The bit yesterday, did it? I mean, everyone loved it.
Well, you're
fantastic.
Welcome.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
See, now that was funny, Taz. No,
thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
You let us in, and then I hammered it home.
Oh, yeah. That's it. You brought it in. You batted cleanup. I batted third. You batted cleanup.
Pitch magic.
There it is.
Day late, Dallas, York City. Pete the body, ladies and gentlemen. That's all right. I love him anyway.
Take it away, Andrew. Thanks.
So your report is brought to you by Werner. Thank you to all of the hardworking pros out there. Werner, the official ladder of pros everywhere. Taz, you'll agree with this. Right field in Yankee Stadium sucks.
Now here's the 2-2.
Get
swung
out.
On and hit in the air to right field. Martinez going back on the track. He's at the wall. She's gone. He's done it again.
Who's hitting pronouns?
Luke Voit.
Thank you.
Cool hand Luke. Voit hits one to Beloit. A two-run home run, and the Yankees have a 6-1 lead.
For those of you scoring at home, that's Beloit, Wisconsin, population 36,757. Luke Voit homered twice, Miguel Andujar once over that right field fence. The three homers, I believe, totaling about 400 feet. The Yanks roughing up the Red Sox 10-1, denying Boston the AL East crown for the second straight night. The Yankees stay 2.5 games ahead of the A's for home field in the wild card game. Oakland blew out Anaheim 10-0, a home run, 5 RBI from Stephen Piscotty. A big night as well for Brewers first baseman Jesus Aguilar.
1-0 Brewers as Harvey sets again and deals. Fly ball deep right. Back Schebler admiring. 3-run blast. Jesus Aguilar. 4-0 Milwaukee.
Jeff Levering on Brewers Radio. 4 RBI total for Aguilar, giving him 103 for the season. Milwaukee pasted Cincinnati 7-0. Then the Cubs lost in Arizona 9-0, so the Brewers now 2.5 back in the Central. The Dodgers completing their 3-game sweep of the Rockies 5-2. That game tied at 2 until the 7th when Yasiel Puig hit a pinch-hit 3-run homer. L.A. now leads Colorado by 2.5 games atop the NL West. The Rockies, meanwhile, still calling shortstop Trevor Story day-to-day with his elbow injury. Story headed to their spring training facility in Arizona for treatment. Week 3 in the NFL begins tonight in Cleveland. The Browns and Jets, 5:20 Pacific. Still waiting on confirmation of this from the Greek Moose, but the Browns apparently home favorites for the first time since 2015.
That is correct.
Hugh Jackson, congratulations. The Ravens fined $200,000 because multiple players were on the field at the same time with the walkie-talkie helmet during a preseason game. There's only supposed to be one. The team says its equipment staff was unaware that rule applied to the preseason. This is the third time in 8 years Baltimore has been punished for breaking protocol. The previous two were about workloads during OTAs. Jimmy Butler has reportedly asked the T-Wolves to trade him. There appear to be some cracks in his relationship with Karl-Anthony Towns and Andrew Wiggins. Butler apparently wants to be a Clipper more than anything else and wants to bring a second superstar with him next summer. And the NBA has concluded its investigation into workplace issues with the Mavericks. This all started with an SI story back in February. Mark Cuban facing no punishment, but will donate $10 million to women's organizations.
And Cuban yesterday told Rachel Nichols on her show on ESPN, he saw nothing, correct?
He knew nothing.
Knew nothing.
Well, he said he wasn't doing anything.
You're right, and what I saw from what he said, too, is that he spent a lot of his time at the actual basketball facility as opposed to the offices. I don't want to be misquoted, but I think he said something like he's only really, in 15 years, been to the office, the administration building like 6 or 5 times or 7 times. I was, like, shocked. Like, really?
Well, even if you're not there, you should have somebody that has an idea of what the hell's going on.
Yeah, manager, supervisor, or something.
That's not an excuse. I mean, it's almost like a head coach. It's basically like a head coach, like Rick Pitino, falling on his sword, had no idea that was going on. Well, then, no, you are the brand. There's like Urban Meyer, anybody. You're in charge. Yeah. It's your organization.
You're the boss. You got to make sure that falls on you.
Right, that does fall on you, whether you show up there or their presence. And let's be honest, even if he was going there 3 times a week, what transpired at that office building? Do you think all this, when Mark Cuban walks in, that's going to be happening?
No. No.
No.
No.
And of course not. So that's why you have to have people there that are accountable, that are telling you what's going on, what needs to change, and if something needs to change, are able to carry out the marching orders for change. So yeah. I think that excuse is completely lame.
Yeah, I think it is too. I mean, but he's cutting a check for $10 million to women's organizations.
He's a billionaire.
I know. I got to tell you. I mean, some people are a little perplexed that NBA is not pulling a team from them, not saying like, you know what, you're done, you're out of league.
I don't know if I could do that to them.
I'm not saying they should or shouldn't. I'm just saying that's what I heard. Some of the stuff I read and heard.
It was thrown out there. Right. I understand. I don't think I could take the team away from them, Taz. Right. But I can't also listen to the lame excuse of I didn't know.
You didn't know what was going on.
I didn't know what was going on. When you are the owner of the team, if you owned a team, if I owned a team, Bisseglia, what have you, you would have people that you knew and trusted, even if you were not at that facility on a day in and day out basis, that you knew that were carrying out the proper way to run a business. Or if something had gone awry, that you were aware of it. I'm sorry, he's been too successful as a businessman to believe that those people are not in place in other areas of his business. I'm sorry.
A lot of those guys are
on that great show Shark Tank, which is a fantastic show. He's investing in people left and right. Mm-hmm. You mean to tell me he has no idea what's going on? He invests $300,000, say in whatever it might be.
A vacuum cleaner.
He turns over the $300,000, and he's like, you know what? Have fun with it. Yeah. No, of course he's playing a role and knows what's going on. No.
To hear that he was not at the front office. Like the administrative building for he's been there a handful of times in over a decade or 15 years. I was like, what? You know, it's crazy.
So
like,
I don't know, five times in 15 years. So once every 3 years, he's going there.
I was going there for like the holiday party. Like, what is he doing?
Oh my God, Mark. It's November 20th. Here he comes.
Yeah, it's Thanksgiving. He's here.
He's like what is
Polish meat is great.
He's like, what is it?
Like, it's a little nuts.
Why did you paint the walls that color?
Yeah.
Last time I was here, they were nice ash gray.
Mark, that was 8 years ago. Yes. Like, what are you, like, you know, we have a new painter.
Right.
So, what's going on here? It's craziness. I don't know. They have a new woman in that's running the show there for him. So, yes. Apparently she's cracking the whip and laying it down. They got a heavy-duty HR thing going on. So, it seems like they're going to get it right here.
And now, now Vontae Davis of the Buffalo Bills, right? We mentioned it going into break in terms of him adding a little bit more of a feel in terms of why he stepped away last Sunday halftime of the Chargers' victory over the Buffalo Bills up in Orchard Park. Told Dominique Foxworth, Taz of the Undefeated, leaving was therapeutic, bro. I had everything the league wanted me to be, playing for my teammates while injured, the gladiator mentality, it all just popped. And when it popped, I just wanted to leave it all behind. So that's why I don't care what people say. That experience was personal and not meant for anyone else to understand. It was me, cold turkey, leaving behind an identity that I carried with me for so long. I mean, you're talking about a guy, he was playing football.
This guy,
it was almost like, what is he, cracking brick? I mean, laying brick or cracking rock?
He's like mixing mortar? Like, what is he doing?
He's playing football on Sundays. If his team doesn't go to the playoffs, you're working 25 weeks out of the year. The other time you get to enjoy your money and your wealth, and all well deserved. I'm not taking away, but I mean, an identity that I carried with me for so long.
Yeah. Well,
there are people that would give anything to have that identity for 5 minutes.
There's people that work blue collar. There's people listening to this right now, men and women that are making minimum wage, busting their ass, and to supply for their family and to sacrifice. Okay, and people that work in public service, from police officers to people that work on an ambulance or firemen and firewomen. Look, that are really truly sacrificing. This guy is a 2-time Pro Bowler, I should say, and a legit defensive back for a long time. He retires. His teammates are pissed about it. ESPN got a quote from Bills safety Micah Hyde, who's a tremendous player, who's a teammate with him, and obviously in that defensive backfield. He said, "Hey, Davis's retirement left a sour taste in my mouth." And I got to tell you, not just because I'm a Bills fan, I think it's atrocious what this guy did. Finish the freaking game, okay? Tell your coach. Tell your position coach or the head coach, I'm not playing in the third quarter or the fourth quarter. I'll be in my gear. I'll be on the sideline. Hell, I'm putting my street gear on, and I won't leave the building, but I'm done after this game. So if you had some epiphany that made you retire, that's your business, Mr. Davis. No problem. You have an obligation. That's to stay at the freaking stadium with your team until the game ends.
Well, and don't disagree with anything that you just said. And now he's making it worse.
He is making it worse. You're right.
So for Vontae Davis, go on vacation.
You want to go away? Go away.
Go away. I don't need to hear you from. I don't need a further explanation. Honestly, I stopped thinking about it probably on Tuesday. It's Thursday. I don't need any more. I don't need any more of a feel, a background, why you did it. You decided to step away. So be it. Because his explanation to Dominique Foxworth, Taz, playing a kid's game professionally,
yeah,
and being able to play at an elite level, you're a special athlete.
It's a blessing.
And you decide not to do it. There's no defending. He could say, this is the way I wanted to do it. Fine. Well, I mean, you left your teammates out there to dry. And he also describes it like some burden for the last 10 years of his life that he had to go out and play football. I mean, Taz, if you don't play... There are burdens in life.
Yeah,
there are people who listen to. There are people who listen to our sound of our voice this morning. They have got real hard burdens to live with the rest of their lives.
There are people that work in hospitals that see unfortunate things of kids or older people or middle aged people that are sick and dying. That's burdens at work.
Right, that's burden. Right,
not what we get to do or what these guys get to do.
No,
these
question. Are not burdens. There are people that work 7 days a week just to make sure their family has food on the table. That's
Amen.
Burdensome.
Amen.
What Vontae Davis did is not a burden.
No.
And what he described to Dominique Foxworth was like, thank God it's over. I'm glad I could put that behind me. I mean, are we serious here?
I know. It's not funny, but it's crazy.
You shouldn't have signed the contract then. If you didn't like what you were doing that much, and you said, I carried that identity with me for so long. Yeah, you were a football player.
You just signed in the offseason with the Bills for $5 million. Okay, for a $5 million deal. He spent 6 years with the Colts. This guy's been in the league. He's a two-time Pro Bowler. He said that he did. He goes, I didn't enter the game. Feeling like I was going to – I didn't enter the game expecting to retire. Again, he had this light bulb go off at halftime.
It was 28-6.
I'm on a team that sucks. Yes. I don't want to do this no more, and I'm sick of playing. I'm done. Bro, finish the drill.
I agree.
It's an hour of your day, and go play the third and fourth quarter.
An hour and a half left of your life.
Right, or sit on
the
sideline.
And he actually played well in the first half.
I know he did.
Yeah, he didn't embarrass himself. He actually played well.
Oh, he's a good player. He's always been a good player.
Yeah, he's been a good player. But now it's time for him to stop. I don't need any more explanation. I don't need to hear about the burden that you carried around for so long. You need to quit football cold turkey.
It was
this
therapeutic.
Is something
go
I need
away.
To do. This
go
is something
away.
I needed to do for myself. Get the hell out of here.
Stop. Just go away. Mike, can we get him on the show soon? No, maybe not.
Can't wait to put that request.
And if I were Vontae Davis, right, at this
stage,
he'd
be like, frig those guys.
Right now, I'd be at wherever he lives. I'd be at some airport. I'd be going to a nice warm place for like 2-3 weeks and just not talking to anybody.
Yeah, I would just lay on the beach next to Aaron Rodgers while he's got the sun hitting his knee to make his knee better.
Right.
Aaron, you think I did the right thing?
Think about this.
Davis,
Rodgers now, all he wants to talk about is knee, even though the doctors told him last week he can't make it any worse. It's going to take 2 months, and he feels like he's going to make it worse. Then don't play.
Yeah,
I mean, honestly, this sit out. The season's over then. Sean Kaiser.
Let Kaiser get in there.
I might as well start a quarterback.
Pete the body.
Kaiser, Kaiser went in there. You thought he bet the Bears. Anyway, Super Bowl halftime performance has been announced. And to many people's chagrin, we'll get into that next. Taz Moose with you, CBS Sports Radio.
I'm Rich Ackerman. From the Swamp to South Bend to Stanford, it's Eye on College Football, Saturday at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific on CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, CBS Sports Radio is brought to you by their toll-free line, brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You can save 15% or more on car insurance. And the injury report is brought to you by the Salt Institute. Let's take a look at the latest injuries. 8 Colts missed practice on Wednesday, including left tackle Anthony Costanza. Receiver T.Y. Hilton and running back Marlon Mack, who's still dealing with that foot and hamstring injury. After exercise, it is critical to replace both water and salt lost through perspiration during the activity. Salt is a vital component of hydration, and that's why athletes need it too. Find out more at alittlesalt.org. So, we know as the NFL, the Super Bowl this year is a CBS entity, yeah. Right? As we've been promoting since the start of the NFL regular season.
That's correct.
Right here on Taz and the Moose. And now we know what the halftime show is going to be, and it will be...
Wow.
Maroon 5. I don't know if they're going to open up with this song, but...
What is this? This Love? What is this song? She Will Be Loved.
Me, 18.
I know this. I remember this song. You know, I used to listen to this. I used to fly a lot for work for WWE. And I liked them. You know what I used to do with this music? I'd put this on my CD.
Okay.
To go to sleep.
Nice.
I'm not joking. They were great. What's his name? The guy singing with the tattoos and the beard. Gimmick.
Adam Levine.
That's him. He's very talented. He could sing his ass off. But this doesn't scream football. This doesn't scream tough. This doesn't scream, you know, you're going to have the Stones there or Aerosmith or something. You know, Robert Plant screaming Stairway to Heaven. I get it.
Right.
What about the other tune? This is This Love. That's another, that was one of my favorites I would nod off to. Remember that one, This Love?
You're going to go... Yeah, I don't know. I'm not great with, honestly, I'm not great with song names.
This is actually this is a very popular song.
I know this song, first hit.
My wife loves this song.
Well, Adam Levine's had a lot of success as an individual performer as well.
Yeah, well, he has. You're right about that.
Now,
I mean, listen, this song brings back memories. I'm telling you, on planes, I did not recognize the fire burning in her eyes. The chaos controlled my mind. Yeah, I remember this. Just put me right to sleep.
On a train. I don't know what you expect, though, Taz. What do people expect in terms of who do you want to be their halftime show?
Hard-ass rock stuff.
That's
what I want. I want Metallica, Jim Brewer open up with Metallica. I want Metallica.
But that's being unrealistic. That's not what the millennial wants.
Jethro Tull.
They're looking to turn over the... Yeah. Now, the one thing, we can knock... Jethro Tull. We can knock the pick and say it's a little boring. Number one is... They've had a lot of collaborations, so I would maybe expect...
Maroon 5?
Yeah, I would expect maybe Cardi B to be there.
Cardi B?
Yeah, Kendrick Lamar.
Oh, God,
I would imagine that there is not... It's not just going to be Maroon 5 and Maroon 5 alone.
I hope not.
And listen, Adam Levine individually has had a lot of hits, too. I would imagine one of those is going to be thrown in. Here's what I do want.
But how about Fred Durst, Limp Bizkit collaboration?
This? What is this, 96?
That's
2018.
No.
Fred Durst.
It's all about the Nuki.
I think Fred Durst heard that and said, no.
I'm not doing it, bro.
No, I can't do that. Honestly.
It's all about, bro, are you kidding
Is
me?
Is West still the guitarist?
Crank this up. Imagine this, though, before halftime Super Moose, you'd be into it.
I would love it.
I know you'd be into it.
I understand, but this is 22 years
Come on,
ago.
This is awesome. The Maroon 5 is not much different.
This is 22 years ago.
Maroon 5's old, too. Put your hands up.
It's not 22 years ago. You can't be doing this.
Rolling. That's what you need, baby.
Yeah,
it's rolling.
Robert Plant's like, nah, I can't do it.
I can't do it. I'm 91 years old.
Right, enough. Stop and throwing my name out there.
I can't. Could you imagine him and Jimmy Page?
Here, the only issue I would have is not having a band that is from Atlanta. You could do Outkast.
Why you got to have a band from Atlanta? Because they're
because
in Atlanta?
It's in Atlanta.
I know it's in Atlanta, but who cares? Why do you got to have a band from Atlanta?
Because why not? It's been a great harbinger for a lot of musical acts.
How about the Freebirds?
Well, you run down the list of people. I mean,
only
you got
Mikey,
Ludacris,
only Pete the Body got
T.I.,
that one.
Outkast, Andre 3000.
What? Who the hell are these people?
CeeLo Green.
Who?
CeeLo?
Come on. He does the updates on WFAN.
Stop.
What's his name? It's the guy that does the update.
Chris LaPresti.
Oh, I thought it was CeeLo. Who's CeeLo? There's a CeeLo here at the fan, right?
Yeah, that's Chris LaPresti.
Oh, he's going to sing. Listen, the Freebirds. You don't know the Freebirds.
I don't know the Freebirds.
It's a wrestling thing. But they were from Atlanta. And,
okay.
They were in a band. They were wrestlers.
Oh.
But they used to come out to Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Gotcha.
And now that would be nice at halftime for the Super Bowl. Bro, Lynyrd Skynyrd? You kidding me? Singing Freebird? You would love it.
Isn't the original Lynyrd Skynyrd? No, that's not Lynyrd Skynyrd. No, I would not.
I don't know, but I just know that
are they all alive?
I'm not sure. Just crank the cassette or the disc or the track. Something. I don't think Maroon 5 gets me back in the zone for the third quarter. That's
all
I'm saying.
One thing they need to do, as I meant to say before, wow, is that allow them to play the entire song. Don't do what Timberlake did last year, which was like 45 seconds of every song
Timberlake
that has ever done.
They'll never let him do the Super Bowl.
Allow them to do and play.
Timberlake.
And it's what they should do. Play complete songs.
Yeah,
learn from what Prince did down in Miami.
Moose is
fantastic.
Right. God rest
his soul. CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.